Hello, this is Property Matters, a weekly catch-up on the world of property, supported by Fairview International Property Consultancy and auctionproperty.co.uk. And we're live every Sunday from 10 a.m, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and our website, propertymatterstv.co.uk. If you're watching on the website, get involved with the chat as well, of course, and also leave us a Google review. And you can also get involved on social media as well. Any topics for us, email address is hello@propertymatterstv.co.uk. If you don't have time to listen live on a Sunday, you can take us on the move with a podcast available at all those platforms on the other side of the screen. We're also live on Dilsay Radio across the week as well. Welcome, Joe, property expert for the week, as always.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning to all our viewers and listeners. I try and do my best as a property expert.
Well, let's see. Let's test you on this one this week, because we're talking about leasehold issues. This is something reported to the BBC this week, I noted. The skyrocketing charges faced by tenants and residents for the service element of their monthly bills amount to an industrial-scale scandal, says a support group to the BBC. They have spoken to some of the Londoners who now fear losing their homes because the charges, the amounts that go towards the upkeep of the building and the other communal areas, have soared by hundreds of pounds a month in the space of a few years. So they talked to Patrick Duffy, who's on the screen, and he bought his two-bedroom flat with his partner in 2017 under a shared ownership scheme run by a company called One Housing. They're a housing association. Mr. Duffy says that they were once optimistic about the future, now feel that their dream has collapsed around them. They own 60% of the property in Dalston, East London. That's a flat, and he says their monthly service charge went up from £94 a month to £515 by April 2023, and 2 weeks ago he was informed that it would rise again to £646 a month. And he says, obviously, with mortgage rates going up dramatically, this has hit them very hard. He says, the worst thing about it is that we have no options, and they're also not willing to help us in any way. We've put our house on the market, but because of the service charge, our property is not desirable, so we can't sell our flat, and we can't afford to live in it. Pretty scandalous.
Yes, it is scandalous. So some years back, this was a new thing that came in. So just to assist, wind back history, there was no such thing as exorbitant service charges. There was in some cases, a peppercorn rent, and in some cases, a ground rent of maybe £50 a year. And so just to offer all the comparisons, if you have a masonette, so it's just the two properties, the ground floor and the first, a lease and a ground rent, that may be a peppercorn or perhaps around £50. When they started to build these blocks of flats, and obviously housing associations and all the other developers got involved, what happened was that obviously nobody wanted to take the blame at the time for maintenance and you know, service charges and the ground rents and so forth. So they decided that they would all sort of pull together and work out a figure that escalated according to years to a point where it became unattainable. And more recently, with the combination of the fascias, the cladding situation that happened, that combined with the service charges and of course the ground rents, has meant that there's a lot of properties that just cannot be sold, or if they are gonna be sold, they will be sold to cash purchasers on the basis that, you know, they will then take up the difference. Now, the service charge element of it has escalated to above and beyond. And that has, as this person says, that, deterred people from buying. Because once they see the lease, and so when they first bought them, Paul, they bought them obviously from a housing association, and everybody's anxious to get on the market, first step on the run of the ladder, and they buy the dream. So they buy the dream and they sign to pretty much anything and everything that goes without perhaps even sometimes taking stock, thinking, oh, well, that's okay, I can afford that, I can afford this. And then, of course, over the last year or so, a combination of mortgages and, of course, the cost of living has all gone up, all the utilities have gone up, then these things start to highlight that another £200-£300 a month that is going out towards service charges is now above and beyond. To make matters worse for these people, it's probably not so, annoying if the service charges actually meant that they were living in very clean, up-to-date, modern facilities. The chances are they've got tenants in them who have got bicycles, and it just turns into a bit of a disaster zone. So that kind of really hits it even harder. So imagine yourself saying, okay, well, I bought this nice property. I have got a percentage with the housing association, or perhaps bought 100% of it. You can't always say how your neighbors are going to be in those things. And when the neighbors come in and start to leave the shopping around, or leave the bicycles, the pushchairs, and tools, builders will find somewhere to put their tools, start storing, the whole communal area, which is what the service charges is all about, to make sure that all the communal areas are dealt with, are actually not dealt with. So therefore, it becomes really a drag to say, well, actually, I'm paying £200 and £300 a month towards these service charges, and look at the state of the property. It's just not worth doing it. And that then, you can imagine it puts the hair on your back up, and you start thinking, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. The problem is the contract is tied, and that then means that when people are trying to sell those properties, new buyers are looking at not just the cost of the service charges, but also the state of the property. And the two combination, that means that they just think, well, actually, you know what? I don't want to pay this for this. I don't want this to happen. And then they had the ground rent issues. The ground rent issues were escalated. There used to be a standard ground rent, maybe every 30 years or every 20 years it would go up. Now they linked it all to sort of some, system that says, every 5 years or 10 years it's going to go up because of the RPI, that sort of rate that they want to sort of link it to. So, that's what made these properties unsaleable. I totally sympathize with people that are in there that have signed up to these things and perhaps we weren't done. But think, if everything else can change, then freeholders should also consider making some changes accordingly. But, he's absolutely right that it's set in stone, and you just can't shift it.
You're absolutely right. The question about the upkeep of the building and the maintenance of the building was questioned as part of this, for this high fee that they're charging. And of course, once take this on, you've got no cap on the charges, and usually paying them is a condition of the lease. So you've got very little wriggle room, as you say. And it seems that these services are sublet from a company like One Housing into a managing agent who literally looks after this and then puts the charge to One Housing, and they claim that they don't make any profit from the service charge whatsoever. Do you think that this was... because I go back to when they bought the property and the solicitor saying to them, well, you do realise you've got these service charges to pay. Do you think that they were made aware that they could go up like this? Or do you think it was just, well, it's going to be £94 a month and therefore you should be able to afford that? Because you wonder where their advice was.
I think, to be honest with you, in this particular case, as you know, I'm always... up in arms about the legal system. But in this particular case, what happens is that you're so enthusiastic to buy something and get on the run of the ladder, you actually don't perhaps listen to, even if you have been told, you've not taken it on board to say, all right, yes, in 10 years time or 5 years time, that from £95 is going to become, £200. Another 10 years time is going to become another, £300, or whatever that amount might be, but it's just that the original £95 is okay, and you think, oh well, it's palatable, I can do that, and probably don't listen to the rest of it. And it's not until you come to resell it that you realise that, I bought the situation, and now how do I deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, they say that the reason that the charges have gone so far ahead is the fact that the insurance doubled across the three-year period. And the energy costs, of course, continued to rise steeply. And the building was a timber frame construction. So Patrick says he received an extra bill for more than £9,000 because his bills were estimates. So he's now been told he needs to pay actual costs relating to the previous years. So he needs to find this sum on top of the monthly service charge. The rent he pays for the part of the property that he doesn't own, and he has to pay his mortgage. So he's got his mortgage, he's part of the property that he's buying, and he's also got, of course, the service charge to pay as well. And the charges Mr. Duffy and his partner have received relate to total costs incurring over three financial years, equating to an overall balancing charge of £9,257 as the service provided during the three-year period costs were more than estimated. So that's a pretty tough pill to swallow, something like, what, £250 to £275 per month?
Yes, that's what's said. You know, the problem with these service charges are that they individually charge people anything between 250 and 300 per flat. So if you had 100 flats in a block or even 20 flats, it's a good amount of money that they're getting. So, you know, to say that they don't make a profit is probably an understatement. They make plenty of money. On top of all of this, just to add more fuel to the fire, on top of all of this, every time somebody wants some information, so the housing association or the subsidiary that is managing it or another company will send you up-to-date bills and service costs and so forth. Whether they've done it or not, you just got to believe them that they have, because that's what they tend to do. And you know, I've been in that situation where the landlord has turned around and said, just, you know, these are service charges and so forth, and I'm asking, you know, what did you do for that? Because I know that they actually haven't done anything, or they may made a small repair to a roof. Well, you and I would know that if you had a small repair to a roof, it's not going to amount to £3,000 or whatever it is. But they would escalate that cost to such a point that £3,000 per flat means it's £9,000 worth of service charges for something that may be only, you know, 100, maybe 200, let's say even it's £500. You know, it's not huge. So they make a huge amount of profit. And to make matters worse, if you don't keep your information together and you do decide to sell, then when the solicitor applies to the landlord or to the managing agents for a copy of the statements, they will charge you another £150 admin cost to provide you copies of the documents that you've already been given, but you chose not to keep. So, you know, to say that they don't make money is absolutely a lie. You know, they make plenty of money, and that's why they're in it. Why would anybody, you know, become a landlord and provide services and so forth and not make money? I mean, nobody does anything for free. We know that certainly landlords are not going to do anything for free. So, you know, that's a huge issue. And it only came up probably in the last, I would say, 20, 25 years, especially when, you know, probably more 20 than 25, you know, when places like Canary Wharf, all around there, they started to build all these modern fancy blocks. People went and bought into them, bought the idea of being in London, bought the idea of being on the near the tube station, etc., but didn't bargain for all the problems that they are now having. And that includes, obviously, apart from the quality of the service charge, and the quality of the workmanship that apparently that service charge is providing, it's then also added the cladding issue, which has been an ongoing thing, as we have discussed many times on our program. And so that combination has meant that there are lots of people that are just now stuck and cannot shift from there.
Yeah, as the law stands, it says that leaseholders have a right to ask for the paperwork or receipts showing how the service charge was spent. But it seems that with some of these agencies, or these associations rather, that they are very reluctant to bring forth the paperwork. And one has to question, I guess, the managing agent in the middle of all this, because they're just, you know, writing their own checks effectively, it seems.
Yes, that's what I said. You know, the problem is that, you know, so as an agent or as an auctioneer, I would go into a property and I try and look at it through the eyes of the potential buyer. And to be honest with you, there are places that even you wouldn't, you know, you probably wouldn't let your cat or your dog live in half of these places. And yet people are paying service charges for a so-called service to provide, you know, security, cleanliness, even the communal lights and bulbs and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they are just not, they're not done, but they do charge them. And as part of a lease contract, you're obligated to make those payments. So I fully empathize with them, that they, you know, are being sold a pup under the circumstances. But unfortunately, enthusiasm was there when they bought the property and probably didn't really take heed of the small print.
They spoke to Michael, the BBC, about he's a retired person, and he faced a monthly service charge of £483 a month. He said he was stunned to receive a letter last summer asking for an extra £3,777 on top of the fees he'd already been charged as a result of an incorrect bill 2 years earlier. He owns 35% of a flat in Stratford, East London, and rents the remainder, saying he had to pay one housing more than £8,000 for charges last year and was only able to find the extra money by cancelling dental surgery and a holiday. He says he recently received correspondence indicating that in future he'll have to pay £540 a month in rent with a service charge of £560 a month. Michael says this is the first time the service charge has been calculated as higher than his rent, adding that when he moved in, the service charge amounted to 25% of the cost of the rent. He says he's put in several complaints and a Freedom of Information request to try and get breakdowns in detail of what the charges were for, and added that he and his neighbours have been asking to see invoices for 5 years but haven't been given anything. So that's quite something, isn't it? The service charge is more than the rent. That's got to be wrong.
Oh, totally. And that's the problem. This is what I'm saying. The management companies that handle these blocks are making money. And of course, they're making money on the back of these people that can't then sell. So they've locked them in. And if they don't pay their money, of course, they will apply to the court to say that they haven't paid their money, either to the lender by saying that, you know, you've got to add this cost to the mortgage and, you know, the lender will pay it. Why will the lender pay it? Well, the lender pays it because he doesn't want the property to be repossessed, and therefore they will add it to the mortgage at the time. Or they will turn around and say, well, actually, you know what, you've got to pay this, and if you don't pay it, we're going to take repossession action. And that's another sort of bully tactic that comes in, because if they take it as a repossession, then of course they will be probably reselling it at a colossal amount, and they've had a gain for free because someone's actually ended up having to pay that mortgage. So yeah, it's a little bit of a trap, and it's really unfortunate that the, you know, people are suffering with this, but I would go to the point that they should have taken and read the legal side of it first. The problem is they're in it, so the question is, how do you get out of it? Obviously they can pull together and take the matter to court, and maybe the court will look at it, but the cost of that will far outweigh staying put for what it's worth. And yes, when you're doing a housing association, you have a portion of it that you're renting and a portion of it that you own, so you're stuck between the two, because basically if you don't pay the mortgage, you know, you're going to get repossessed, and if you don't pay the housing association, they're going to kick you out. So, you know, that's the problem that we have in this particular type of lease structure. And now, you know, our mate, Mr. Gove, has been trying to do the levelling up, where he wants to, you know, give new leases at 999 years and peppercorn rents and so forth, and try and reduce that so that basically landlords or freeholders don't get those benefits. But he hasn't come up with a solution for all these other people that are actually stuck in the system.
There is a group called the Social Housing Action Campaign. They're a lobbying group for housing residents that campaigns for lower service charges and an end to what it calls the abuse of the charges. She said, this is Suzanne Mooner, who runs the organisation. She said she's heard of landlords charging for services that they've not been providing. Tenants and residents charged for the maintenance of public parks. Charging residents for council services is actually quite common. Residents are being charged for a concierge when there is no concierge, and buildings without a lift are being charged lift maintenance. The Residents Freehold Association, a trade body representing freeholders, says a service charge is an important part of maintaining a building, but more regulation is needed of the managing agents that do the work, because this is, as we've been saying, an unregulated sector. So you and I could set up a managing agent service tomorrow, and we could be the biggest crooks in the world, and we could literally go and do what we want.
Yes, that's the point. It isn't regulated. It is a structure that is created by somebody else, and they can actually make the charges and the cost as they go along. And which is why I'm saying that many a time I've gone to buildings and realized that, you know, there's nothing. And I'm sure, you know, we all have loads of people go visit their friends or whatever it is, or do, you know, deliveries. And you'll find that, you know, some of those buildings are not buildings that you, you find fit to even walk through, let alone live upstairs into. But they will charge you for those service charges. And as you can see, and you pointed out, that people haven't been able to even get the invoices for the work that has been done, and by whom? Because you could then go back to that person at least and say, well, actually, you know, when did you last do this and who instructed you? But nobody wants to sort of own up to that situation. So they are stuck with that. And it is very unfortunate. But I think you've got to continue the fight. And I'm sure, you know, they will win at the end.
Well, the National Leasehold Campaign has welcomed an update from the Competition and Markets Authority on this matter. The not-for-profit organisation says the road to get to this point has been long and progress has been slow, but they're pleased that the CMA have continued to work on this huge consumer issue. It's galvanised leaseholders to submit evidence to the CMA over many years, and the founder of the organisation says whilst the emphasis for the CMA investigation has focused on doubling ground rents, it's evident that the consumer champion also shares our significant concerns regarding RPI escalating ground rents. Escalating ground rents have led to leaseholders experiencing issues with selling and mortgaging properties, resulting in them being trapped, unable to sell or move on with their lives, putting them in impossible situations. At an RPI increase of 3.7% per annum over 20 years, an RPI escalating clause produces an increase equivalent to a 20-year doubling clause. So it's the RPI, perhaps, that they're putting on as well, on top of the cost of everything escalating with the insurance. So it's clear that this wider national campaign, and indeed the Competition and Markets Authority, look like slow progress, but they're getting involved.
Yes, like I said, it'll be a bit of a teeth-pulling exercise, but, you know, you've got to persist on it, because at the end of the day, the result could be positive, and it would be well worth the fight. And you know, I've known of these situations, and of course, as a seller's agent, we find it hard to then sell this on. And sometimes it's not even worth taking the instruction, primarily because you're going to be wasting a lot of time and energy on something that you know it's actually not going to sell because of all these issues. So they are caught in a trap, really. And the only way to get out of that is to continue to fight.
The lady that formed the NLC said she bought a new build Taylor Wimpey home with a £295 ground rent that doubled every 10 years. And despite having purchased her freehold after years of stress and escaping the leasehold nightmare herself, she is frustrated by the glacial pace to convert 10-year doublers to a flat ground rent. She explained it is now over 2 years since the developers and freeholders that created and brought the freeholds of the houses on my estate. They agreed undertakings with the CMA to convert doublers and former doublers back to the original 295 ground rent. Government may think that this is all over, but 2 years on from the CMA undertakings, my neighbours are still paying high ground rents, and I'm incredibly frustrated by the lack of progress. The developers and freeholders need to convert these doublers to flat ground rent, otherwise their warm words and undertakings are just completely rhetoric. Hundreds of leaseholders are caught up in this impasse. And it is interesting, Joe, to look at the number of companies that have dragged their heels. I mean, they're talking about companies like Redrow, for example, have finally agreed to do this. But back as far as 2019, some of these builders were actually going back to these basic ground rents. But some of them are still only getting round to it now. And they're all asked at the same time. And so some of them going, oh, yes, we've done it. But it's taken them, what, 5 years?
Oh, yes. And to be honest with you, like I said, over the last sort of 20 years, it's always been the big household name builders that have built these blocks that have created such issues. You know, prior to that, to the best of my knowledge, it wasn't as dire as it has become. So go back to your sort of Canary Wharf days and see when that was. And that was over the last, you know, 20, 25 years that lots of those blocks were built, and they were all built by major developers, major builders, in conjunction with housing association like the One Housing Group, so they saw that that's the only way to make money. Sometimes they were, you know, suggesting that they were selling the flats at lost leaders. In other words, they were selling them not for a great profit. But if you look back at Redrow's books and several other developers, they made huge amounts of profits in their building. But they obviously topped it up by all these other little hidden extras, including service charges, maintenance costs, buildings insurance, and, you know, ground rents escalating. And then, of course, administration costs. So, you know, as you say, it's not regulated. it was almost like, you know, let's see what we can get away with, and got away with it as long as they can. But the real thing came to highlight probably more since the cladding issue came, because all of a sudden everybody wanted to sort of say, look, I've got to get it out. And then it was a cladding scenario that caused the problem. Now, you know, we've had that discussion, and I've voiced my thoughts on that, that, you know, let tenants that buy these properties, these leaseholds, pay insurances. They're made to pay those insurances, either through service charges or buildings costs and so forth, or building insurance, which is a combination of these service charges. And I've always felt, and I've said here on our program several times, that it's the insurers that have made colossal amounts of money in this that should have dealt with all, because you've already paid for them. But unfortunately, the reality of it is that nobody wants to stand up and sort of be counted. So unfortunately, the tenant or the leaseholders are always the one that's end up having to pay for it.
So there's a little bit of a timeline here. So 2019, the CMA went about tackling the issue, and it took until June 2021 for Aviva to remove doubling ground rent terms in relation to freeholds that it had bought. In the same month, Persimmon Homes offered leasehold house owners the opportunity to buy the freehold of their property at a discounted price that better reflects what they expected when they originally bought their home. September 21, Countryside Properties removed doubling ground rent terms in relation to freeholds it owns. December 21, Taylor Wimpey removed doubling ground rents and RPI-based terms that were originally doublers from all its contracts. August 22, nine businesses who purchased freeholds from Taylor Wimpey commit to remove problematic doubling terms. Developers Crest & Nicholson, Miller Homes, Redrow and Vistry agreed to help to remove doubling terms for leasehold contracts they sold on. In March 2022, 15 businesses who bought freeholds from Countryside removed doubling ground rent terms. So it's taken till and now in March of this year, eight more freeholders agreed to strike out doubling terms from their leasehold contracts. So you have to ask, for those that have done it in certainly in 2024, these eight companies, why were they not able to do it in 2021, for example?
Well, they drag it out as long as they can, and made the money. So it's, you know, they've come to a point where now the gun is held to their head, and they thought, well, okay, we've got to get out of this. But you know, we made hay while the sun is shining. So for all those years, they've had to, you know, they've made those charges and costs, and also it might be that the, you know, the term is now there. So it depends when they started the building. So not everybody was building in 2018. Some of those were built a bit later, and it might be out of an anniversary of 5 years or 10 years, whenever it fell that the new doubling rent was going to happen. And it's at those anniversaries they probably thought, well, we now will drop that, because it would have been too much headache to try and drop it any earlier, the amount of paperwork and the energy that would have gone into it. I'm just, you know, surmising the sort of thing that could have made those differences. But you know, the fact that they are getting to that stage is a good thing. My big concern out of all these is, you know, we still got all these fascias, these cladding issues that are still outstanding and are extremely slow. And these poor tenants are stuck with properties that they can't shift out of until they are cladded and dealt with. You know, in some cases, it's probably just as quicker for them to take the damn blocks down and to build it again, for the amount of cost it is cost for putting these new claddings on them. It's colossal. I know of a cladding situation in an area where, you know, it's cost £30 million to deal with the cladding. It wouldn't have cost that to take the damn thing down and build it again. You know, if they can house asylum seekers for £7 million a day, I'm fairly certain, you know, they would have accommodated them in a hotel or something and taken the damn thing down and built it up again in the time they've done. It's just a scenario where I think, you know, vulnerability is taken to another extreme for people that have bought and invested in such properties.
I think that the insurance issue is the big elephant in the room here, isn't it? Because obviously the cladding has made the insurance double, or part of that reason, and the fire risk element of it. And you can't see that once the cladding issue has been resolved that the insurance is suddenly going to come down again, can you? It doesn't work like that.
Well, what really frightens me is that the insurance company should, I mean, if they've paid for it and done this, you know, out of the money that they made, then you don't have an issue of perhaps paying a penalty. It's a bit like, you know, if you had a car crash and the car has been repaired by the insurance company, and obviously, you know, they're going to recoup their money. So the next time your insurance is going to go up by, you know, 10, 15, 20 pounds, 50 pounds. Well, then, you know, the reason, the penalty for that is that you had to do that. But if they haven't done anything and they're still wanting to double your insurance, that is really a painful exercise.
What's interesting, just looking at this timeline again, actually, and delving a little deeper, you look at Countryside Properties removed doubling ground rents in September 2021. Then 6 months or so later, in March 2022, 15 businesses who bought the freeholds from Countryside removed the doubling ground rents. So Countryside agreed in September 2021 to remove doubling ground rents. They did it by selling them to someone else who then did the work for them. And the same thing with December 2021, Taylor Wimpey removes doubling ground rents. But then in August of the following year, almost a similar amount of time, 9 businesses who purchased freeholds from Taylor Wimpey commit to remove problematic doubling terms. So again, they just, rather than actually deal with the problem, they just sold it on, it seems, and it went to other people to sort out.
Yes, and the reason why they sold it on, and of course the other people do it, is that in that term and that time, they make the sufficient amount of money out of those people. And by buying that time, they've actually paid for it in a different way. So if you had 100 properties and each one was charging, I don't know, hypothetically £250 a month or whatever it is, you know, Taylor Wimpey might have said, like, we'll get out of it in 2021. But we've now sold that off to somebody else. So they've said they've done it, but they've sold it to somebody else who still haven't done it. And for another 2 or 3 years, they've collected that rent on the basis that they're going to do it. And then when they've made their money, they've turned around and probably flogged it off to somebody else. So, you know, really what they should have done is just given the option back to all of the people that had the lease to say, you know, what we're going to do, instead of selling the whole thing to somebody else, we're going to actually just deal with this in a different way and sell the freehold to all of you. That's what they should have done.
To wrap this all up then for this week, Joe, the CMA have responded to the government's consultation, because the government, of course, is planning on the Leasehold and Freehold Reform Bill, which hopefully will resolve this issue once and for all, make it law that you can't have these doubling ground rents. And hopefully that will come soon enough, because for the people that certainly the BBC spoke to in this particular article, they've got a very painful situation where they can't afford to live in their property and they can't afford to sell it either. And that's where we will leave it for this week, Joe. So thank you ever so much, as always, for your wisdom on a tricky issue of leaseholds and the bombshell that many people are facing, particularly in cities like London. And we'll be back with another Property Matters very soon, right here.